Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
We're going to talk about all the things that are on our mind, all the things that we're obsessed with, and
that we care about,
that
we want to share
about,
with you.
Exactly, that we're feeling enthusiastic about because that's what we're good at. I might have started talking too early.
I think it's cool.
The music's still playing.
I'm cool with it.
It's fine. It's just a little bad. It's like when they take you off stage at the Oscars.
Yeah.
The producer's like, stop talking.
Yeah.
So here we are. We own a website called ofakind.com.
Where we sell the pieces and tell the stories of emerging fashion and home designers. You should check out the stuff we sell, the stuff we write stories about. And you should also sign up for our newsletter. It's called 10 Things. And we send it out once a week, usually Mondays. And it's just 10 things we're real psyched on, basically.
That's right.
And this radio show is an extension of that.
And we just, talk about things we love, including hair removal.
Yeah. I don't know if it's something we love so much as something we think about, deal with, and have, like, solutions we're excited about, I guess.
Solutions we aspire to, for sure.
Oh, aspire to. Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to start out.
We have very different hair removal techniques,
totally.
And we offer solid perspectives, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who is better equipped to discuss hair removal than us? Nobody.
Nobody.
I want to start this conversation by saying that we are fully aware that not everybody is in agreement over how much hair one should or should not have on their body, and I am totally on board with all the different attitudes about it.
Keep it all, take it all off, whatever makes you feel good.
People are really into growing out their armpit hair now, and
Miley Cyrus
dyeing
is doing it.
Yeah. I remember the girls in our office like a couple weeks ago were talking about nice armpit hair and who like has pretty armpit hair, and it made me feel so old because it's definitely a conversation I've never had. But that's how it goes. My personal preference is I have a ton of hair on my head. That's plenty for me, and everything else I mostly want to get rid of.
You keep your eyebrows.
I keep my eyebrows, and I keep other hair, but I just I have arm hair. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't go so far as to remove my arm hair.
So, but the fascinating thing about you is that you wax like pretty exclusively.
So back to the thing of having a lot of hair in my head. I have really thick curly hair, which
coarse,
Eastern European Jew. Like it makes for awesome head hair and not awesome body hair. And it means that when, like, I could shave if I wanted to, but I have 5 o'clock shadow by like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. And shaving never made me feel smooth and silky and would always just like give me like razor burn or ingrowns or whatever. And so at some point I started waxing,
when did you start waxing?
It's a great question because I was noncommittal about it for a while because it is a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Because you
time, price, energy, money, pain.
Yes, all of it.
Yeah.
It does get a lot less painful once you start doing it. But it also the thing actually that I think is most frustrating about waxing is that you have to go through a period of having kind of long hair. You know, you have to.
Yeah.
So let's use legs as an example because they're fairly inoffensive, not private thing to talk about. when you have to grow your leg hair out to I don't actually know the measurement, but
it's like a
where you
third
can
of
see
an
it.
Inch or something.
Yeah, enough where you can see it, which is. In my personal preference is to have no hair on my leg. So the fact that once a month I have to grow it out a bit isn't that awesome for me. It's especially not awesome on my armpits. And so that is the most annoying part. And so that's the part that I find is a real commitment when you want to just be hairless and you have to just let it grow a little bit longer to the point where you can wax it. I will say living in New York makes it a lot easier because there are nail salons on every corner that do waxing.
Yeah.
That said, it is, and I hated shaving so much, and I always thought it added so much time to the shower, which always annoyed me in the morning. So I sort of felt like it was a trade-off where I can wax once or twice a month, and then I never have to think about shaving. But it's, you know, you still got to do it. It's annoying. And I wish my attitude has always been that when I have a daughter, I will never let her shave. I will make her start waxing from day one, because then by the time she's my age, she won't have any hair left, or it will just be really thin.
Interesting.
And I knew girls when I was growing up whose mothers did them that favor.
Really?
Yes. And I thought it was so weird, and they hated it, and they all you know, would talk about how painful it was.
I have never heard of such a thing.
Oh, I totally remember this. And I look back now and think those were good mothers. That was good parenting, because those girls now have probably such little hair left, because when you wax enough and you do it consistently and you don't shave in between, it thins, and then it eventually starts to wither away.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Okay. But the ultimate dream, this is something that you've expressed for a while, is laser hair removal.
So, you know how they say, like, don't make big decisions without, like, making sure that you really want them. They probably say this about, like, plastic surgery, right? Like, you should want it for a couple years before you finally take the dive. I have wanted laser hair removal for as long as I can remember, as I knew it existed.
Yeah.
And it's at the top of all of the lists that I make about what to do when I get rich. It's number one.
For a while, I was sort of not indifferent to it, but it wasn't a high priority for me. But I think at this point, at least for underarms, it's pretty high up there. And so I have a friend who has gotten it done, who I wouldn't have expected that she would have spent the money to get it done.
You have a couple friends.
I have a couple friends, but neither of whom, you know, throw money around, who have said that this is one of the best investments that they've made. And my friend Paige swears by Beam Laser Spa.
Beam. Oh, I thought she does
no
Bear.
Beam.
Okay.
She does Beam.
Okay.
I texted for confirmation ahead of the show. And she loves it. Absolutely loves it. And then Bear is another one. In New York that people swear by.
I honestly think that this is an industry that probably got a huge boost from the likes of Groupon and Guilt City.
Yeah.
Because everybody I talked to who's gotten it done has gotten it done because they saw an offer on Guilt City or Groupon or one of these daily deal sites. And I think that made people aware of it. And I've been too scared to do it because I think it... Well, okay, that's not true. One time I did get one of those deals, and I went to the place, and it was so shady and gross that I walked out of the waiting room.
I think you got to feel really comfortable at the place that's pointing a laser at you.
That's the thing. And so my feeling is when I do it, I want to pay the big bucks for the best one, get it done, never have to go back. Because you do hear the stories about, oh, I did it, I paid a lot of money, and then
had to go for
back.
Six more sessions.
Right, because the laser wasn't strong enough or whatever. But basically, laser hair removal points a laser at your hair follicle, and essentially, I don't know, kills it. Who knows what the actual medical term for it is. But the hair is supposedly never comes back. And
the follicle withers away.
Yeah. And one thing that made me really nervous about it initially, especially when it came to my armpits, was that, or bikini line, was that you're getting really close to vital organs like that.
And lymph nodes.
That get cancer. And so do you want to be pointing a laser at them? But I have talked to basically every doctor I've gone to. So, you know, I'm like at the dermatologist, I'm at the physician, anybody, and I quiz them about their thoughts on laser hair removal. And they say it's pretty safe because it doesn't go really deep.
Interesting.
So they still say, you know, you should find a reputable provider, but...
Interesting. So the thing that you don't wax, and that we both at some point in our lives waxed, were eyebrows.
No.
Which, in high school, it felt like the thing to do to wax your eyebrows.
Oh, my God. Of course. That is, yes, that was, like, what you did with your girlfriends, is you went and got your eyebrows
when
waxed.
When you were, in the late 90s,
well,
you waxed your eyebrows.
Well, because it also felt like the type of thing that made you feel old, because in junior high, everybody plucked their eyebrows to all hell.
Yeah.
And so then when you got old enough to have a professional do it.
And this felt like a real shape that you were, targeting. Yeah.
And, right before my senior prom, I got my eyebrows waxed, and they actually burned my eyebrows. And so it was a disaster. I have no eyebrows, basically, in my prom or graduation pictures. They're completely penciled in, and there's so much makeup over top of the burn. And
beautiful.
That was the last time I ever got them waxed.
So since then, you've been going to Sonia?
Yeah, to Sonia.
Sonia
Vukotaj, Sonia's Brow Bar. I was actually going to her before then, because when I was in...
So this was like a relapse.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened? This is one of these things as a kid, you learn that if you do something badly enough, your parents will help you out. It's like if your parents make you do the dishes and you do them really badly, eventually you won't have to do the dishes anymore. Well, I did such a crappy job on my eyebrows that my mother had just had it. And you find out, this is like every mother's nightmare, that her daughter will completely destroy her face by essentially shaving off her eyebrows. And so my mother marched me to Sonia Vukotaj, who at the time was in the basement of Bergdorf, and made Sonia shape my eyebrows. And now Sonia has her own business. She left Bergdorf. She has a brow bar on 20th Street, and she has made a real name for herself, and she only plucks because she feels like that's the only way you can get the best definition. And last time I was there, she told me she did Drake's eyebrows.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty major. Who knew Drake was getting his eyebrows shaved?
Well, I'm probably not.
There's 100% chance you're not, but that's cool.
But that's fine. She's not listening. Let's just say she was really psyched to get her hands on those brows.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And let's just say that I think actually it is obvious that Drake's been getting his brows done, and that's the problem, and that's why we're all so thrilled that he finally discovered Sonia.
That's a good call. Yeah. I go to Sonia about quarterly with Claire.
I drag her all the time.
As like a date, which I feel like it is absolutely worth it. And then in the meantime, I just sort of clean up with tweezers at home, because I don't do that much.
And she's totally okay with that. And Sonia's whole philosophy is she wants to teach people what their shape should be, and
so they can
give them
it.
The tools to maintain it.
Yeah.
So she will, as she's doing your brows, show you what she's doing. She, when she fills them in with a pencil at the end, she will make you hold a mirror up so that you can watch her, so that you know.
And it is very instructional. She has her own.
She has her own pencil,
which I use. Mm-hmm. It's really great. And then when I'm just too busy or just it's like too much to do that, then I'll get my eyebrows threaded. Mm-hmm. Which I think is like, in terms of the efficiency, the minimal amount of pain, the price, and that there's just, it never seems like there's that much room for error for some reason.
Well, you also have great brows that I don't feel like they're complicated.
You have a thick
brow that doesn't require
even
a ton
shape,
of work.
Yeah.
It's very even. I don't feel like it requires as much as other people's brows.
Yeah.
I will say my thing about threading is I in theory understand how it works, in part because every threading salon you go to has that video tutorial
on the wall.
In the window to show you what's happening.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how you can get any precision by using threads and just like dragging them across your eyebrow.
Yeah. I mean, I think it takes a lot of practice.
It takes a whole lot of practice. Yeah.
Okay. So shaving, I shave
like a normal person.
Like most people do.
I will say most women, I think, get rid of their body hair by shaving, which means that when you meet another woman who waxes, it is so
you're in some club.
Yes.
Yeah.
You feel like you're in some club.
Yeah. So I use a men's razor because I feel really weird about having to buy a product that is made specifically for women that does a worse job than the product that is made for men.
Yeah. That is totally fair. I remember this was one of the first things that my mother made me aware of as kind of like a feminist issue as a young person, where we were in the supermarket aisle and she was griping about how they don't make as good razors for women and how annoying that was and frustrating to her, and how the women's razors are all more expensive too.
Yeah, it's really odd. And then for a while I used coconut oil as shaving cream, mm-hmm. which I really loved. Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy because I use it for so many things. So there's just a jug of it in the bathroom. But it is not great for your drain. It definitely clogs it. This is a problem. So
yeah, yes.
And so
our handyman once came to fix our drain and accused my husband of using Vaseline in the shower. And my husband was like, no, my wife uses so many oils and products. It's definitely not me and my Vaseline in the shower. Thanks though.
Oh my God.
It's really embarrassing.
So now I use this Yes to Cucumbers face wash. It's called their Gentle Milk cleanser. And I just feel so silly buying a totally separate product
just for shaving
my legs. There's nothing magical about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And this face wash has the right consistency.
Okay. Is it foamy?
No, it's like... See, I feel like there's been a transition away from foamy shaving cream since you last shaved. Like
back in
15
early 2000s,
years ago.
Yeah.
So now it's more about this like lubrication situation.
Okay. I like the whole Yes To line.
Yeah.
People love that line.
I'm really into this face wash. It's pretty cheap. You can get it anywhere. And if it's good enough for your face, it's probably good enough for shaving.
I think that's the basic. A great philosophy, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one other thing we wanted to talk about is how often you're supposed to change your razor
blade.
This
is another thing. Has this changed since 2002?
I think... So I had to research a little bit of this on the internet. Glamour did a survey about how often women change their razor blades. And apparently people say...
Hard-hitting research. And important, because I want to know.
You want to know. And apparently the answer is basically once a month.
Okay.
And I don't know if I change it that often. Maybe it's... I think
I
it might be less
did.
Frequently than that. Maybe like once every 6 or 8 weeks when I remember, basically.
Or when it gets gross and moldy, maybe.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things like, how often do you wash your bras? where you don't like, want to talk about it. Much as I should.
Not
that's
willing to
sure.
discuss that and yeah. be honest about it.
No. Let's all just say once a month we change our razor blades.
And once a month we hand wash our bras and lay them out to dry like the delicate beings that they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Should we very quickly talk about a burning question that a reader wrote in about?
Yes,
let's do it. A reader wrote in and...
A listener.
A listener.
We're used to having a website that
people
read.
We're struggling with these various mediums. but she's getting married soon and she wanted to know, did we have any great ideas for what to put in the gift bags? Which is one of those customs that my mother and probably a lot of mothers, when it came time to put on her daughter's wedding, was like, what the fuck? Like, what, we have to give a gift
this
bag
is a
to
thing
everybody
we
now?
Have to, this is now a thing. Yeah.
So we should start by saying that, no, you don't have to feel like you need to give a gift bag.
No one's going to miss it. And there's also the takeaway at the wedding itself. And then there's like the thing that sits in the hotel room when you get there.
I was like, here's a sub.
Yeah. I mean, it's all very murky waters and you don't have to do any of it.
Yeah.
But if you do.
I think where the gift bag started from is destination weddings where somebody has traveled really far to come to your wedding. And so you want to give them a little refreshment or something when they get there, which is certainly a nice thing to do. So if you're going to do it, whether or not it's a destination wedding, our philosophy that we sort of came to is it should be one of two things, either personal or local.
Yep.
Personally relevant or locally relevant.
Yes, yes. So I love the idea of there being sort of like local snacks. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a snack?
Yep.
My friends Jim and Catherine did this at their wedding on the North Fork of Long Island. And, you know, there were just like chips from a local company and little like candies or mints whatever, which... It's just nice to have a snack to consume, and it feels a little relevant. If you're only going to be there for a couple of days, you feel like you're kind of getting a taste.
If I were like really to write the rule book about this and the Claire's rule book, it should just always be a snack.
Yeah.
Everybody's always hungry.
Yeah.
Always. And I am always hungry. Yeah. So nobody's ever going to hate a snack. And I think a snack is the way to go for sure. If you're not going to do a snack or you want something a little personal, I just think something that is a wink and a nod to who you are and to who your guests know you are.
Like a little bit of your crazy.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of your crazy. That's the perfect way to put it. So one of my best friends, college roommate Carrie, has, as long as I know her, have known her, been really obsessive about working out. It's just part of her personality. She loves it. She tries to get everybody else to do it. And she eventually discovered Lululemon at some point and became really obsessive about Lululemon and wears it as if it's not workout clothes, it's daily clothes. So
she was ahead of that.
Yeah, she was ahead of the curve on the athleisure trend for sure. And when we all got to our hotel rooms at her wedding, all the girls got Lululemon's headband, sweatband things. And it was just hilarious. Like, yes, we all know that you wish that we would come work out with you tomorrow morning and all wear our Lululemon sweatbands. And
amazing.
Yeah, it was really cute.
So that's our tips and tricks for wedding favors. If you have anything that you'd like us to talk about, email info@ofakind.com. And we are going to go to commercial. We'll be right back.
Listening to Communication by Fote, and this is A Few Things with Claire and Erica on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
All right, and we are back.
We're back. This is A Few Things with Claire and Erica. If you're just tuning in, you got to go back and listen to us talk about wedding favors and hair removal.
Be kind, rewind, and listen to us talk about hair removal, as long as you're not listening to this live.
Now we are up with a very cool, very exciting guest, Maris Kreitzman. Hi, Maris. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
We are thrilled to have you. Maris is a creator and genius and mastermind behind the site Slaughterhouse 90210, which is one of my very favorite places on the entire internet and has been consistently for like 6 years.
Thank you.
Yeah. And big news.
Erica G chats me Slaughterhouse night or Slacks now me post from Slaughterhouse 90210 all the time.
That's so sweet. And you were such an early supporter too. So
early
thank
fan,
you.
Yes. And now big news is that Maris has a Slaughterhouse 90210 book coming out in October that you
October
have to pre-order.
6th. Yeah.
How was it getting the image rights to that? So wait,
that was one of the issues, right?
An utter nightmare.
Yeah.
So tell us about Slaughterhouse 90210.
Yeah. So on the blog, Slaughterhouse 90210, I took screen caps from TV shows that I love and combined them with quotes from literature that I thought resounded in some way with the image. And it
was
all
fun
games.
And it's kind of a high-low mix a lot of the time because it's like Gossip Girl and I don't know.
Something that's highbrow.
Jonathan Franzen. Yeah, highbrow. Is he highbrow? I don't
know. He's like
mid-brow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a conversation for another time.
Yeah.
One of the most popular ones was a quote from Kurt Vonnegut and about we're here on Earth to fart around.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of Snooki who was just like blotto and having a great time on the boardwalk. but the other part of it was celebrating two things that I love. So like my first post was Veronica Mars and it was with a quote from Elizabeth McCracken, who's one of my favorite authors of all time. And that was a way to just say like, oh, hey, these two things go together and I love how they do.
That's amazing.
You also are really exceptional about commenting on kind of pop cultural moments. So, you know, election coverage or Jon Stewart episodes or Stephen Colbert's farewell and having really pointed things to say in response to all of that.
So tell us, how do you do it? Do you have an amazing memory for books and you just think up these passages that are relevant when you see the show?
Well, you read a ton.
I read a ton and I have a Google Doc now that's probably 500 pages.
Wow.
Of quotes, and I read differently now. I read for quotes a lot of the time. And so I have
Do you tag them? How do you organize them?
I just use my search function very
Yeah, that's like
often.
How I search for things in life.
That's amazing.
And so there are certain authors like Lori Moore or Margaret Atwood who have like the best way of summing up a little situation in a line or two that's like brilliant and perfect. Mm-hmm. And so I often go dip back in that well.
That's awesome.
So how was putting the book together?
So I chose the quotes that I knew I wanted to use. And then the images were a lot more difficult because I was going through photo houses.
Yeah.
So I chose 3 or 4 photo houses where I was going to get most of the images from and really had to work backwards. Like, say,
did your publisher give you a budget that you
not? They gave me an advance and it was my responsibility to use it wisely.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was just going back and saying like, oh, I don't have an image of Joan Holloway teaching the girls how to be a good secretary, but I do have this other image of Joan and what can I do with it?
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. So being one of the most literary people that I know, we wanted to bring you on to talk about books and reading and summer books specifically. So people talk a lot about songs of the summer, but I also think that there's sort of like a book of the summer thing that has been happening.
Absolutely. There definitely was last summer.
Yeah.
Gone Girl.
Right. Well,
that was two summers ago. That was like, oh my God, time flies. That was the summer I moved into my apartment.
It's still selling.
It's still selling.
But that was like the book of the summer.
So what are some other books that have been books of the summer?
I think Girl on the Train is really shaping up to be a book of the summer.
So is it though, because I felt like it was everywhere in the beginning of the summer, and then it fizzled out, and I never hear about it anymore.
Huh.
I'm not lurking in the right literary circles.
I'm not entirely sure, okay. And I feel like my world is a little bit of a bubble, too, because... Okay. I know a lot of people who are putting out wonderful books, and I don't know if outside of New York City what
people are. Yeah.
And my dream is that the books that I care about that are vibrant and meaningful to me in New York City will find success elsewhere.
Let's talk about Girl on a Dream for a second. First, the title was a lot like Gone Girl, so that was weird.
Well, and Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, which was another one of
these. Lots of girls. Yeah, girls doing... My big thing about the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is that there's going to be another book coming out soon, and I'm trying to figure out, like, when does she graduate to being a woman?
Yeah.
Like, maybe this book.
Maybe it's finally her time. But Girl on a Train was also similar story, had a lot in common in terms of the plot and the structure, right? Like, you don't know who to trust, and it's a mystery, and someone dies, and there's
absolutely
all this stuff. It felt like this super blatant attempt to just be the next Gone Girl, right?
I don't know about that, and I have no idea when the author wrote the book or what it was.
That's also a whole other question or issue.
You never know.
But in terms of just being like a really fast-paced, fun, smart book, you know, there are a lot of books that are called summer reads because they are a little trashy. And I'm all for trashy books, but in my summer reads, I like a little bit of smarts in there, even if I want to just plow through it at the beach.
So what are the books that you, if you got to name the books of the summer, if you got to pronounce them, what would you pick?
Okay. So I would start with Saint Maisie by Jamie Attenberg.
I really want to read Saint Maisie. What's it about?
It's about a woman who was the subject of a profile in The New Yorker many years ago. She
It's nonfiction.
No, it's a historical fiction, which is a change for Jamie.
Okay.
And it's about this woman who devoted her life. She was like a trashy broad, I'd say.
Okay, she devoted
with
her life
heart
to
of
being
gold,
a trashy broad. Okay.
Who devoted her life to helping the homeless men who she saw on the Bowery.
Wow.
And so it's a mix of being bawdy and fun, but also so relevant today in discussing the gap between the rich and the poor and
income,
what
inequality,
we
and all of that.
As Americans can do about that.
Yeah.
And I think it is ripe for a movie version. It's easy reading, but not... But it makes you think so much.
Who would you cast as Saint Maisie? I know that's a really hard question, but I like this game.
I just... You know, it flashes through a bunch of different parts of her life. Okay. I'm just going to say Julianne Moore, because I will always say Julianne Moore.
Fine. Just put her in more movies, right?
Yeah. She can be in any
movie.
She
and Emma
be the
Stone
girl
is the young
train
version.
There you go.
Okay. Done. You're welcome, Hollywood producers.
What else? What other books?
So, a book critic friend of mine yesterday tweeted, "Is it okay for me to take A Little Life on vacation with me?" And A Little Life is one of my favorite books that I've read probably in the past few years.
Okay.
It's by Hanya Yanagihara. I hope I didn't butcher her name.
Oh my God, yes. I just heard all about this book. I will never read it because it sounds insanely sad.
It's insanely sad and difficult in the way... When people first told me that it was difficult, I was like, ugh, I don't know if I want to have to like spend an hour analyzing a paragraph to figure out where it's going.
Right.
The thing about it is that it's 800 pages, and I read it in 5 days.
Really?
It just took over my life. It was so quick, but also devastating.
So I said,
when my book critic friend tweeted, like, "Can I do this?" I said, like, if you're looking for a quick read on a vacation, yes, but just be prepared, like, to cry at the beach.
Right. So to put this book in context, I was out with some friends, and a friend of mine, Rakesh, was there, and he's always with his boyfriend, and I was like, where's your man? Yeah, they're the greetest. I was like, where's your man? He's like, oh, he's just like meeting up with us later. He needed a second, like whatever. He was doing something. I'm like, yay, okay, whatever. His boyfriend shows up, and he's like, hey, what were you doing? Why weren't you with us earlier? He's like, I just finished this book, and I just needed a moment to recover from it. And he had just finished this book, and he was like, you know, honestly, I just needed some time to myself because it was really intense.
So this feels like kind of a good, I don't have weekend plans this summer, like,
lock yourself in your home and go
and
to
consume
it.
This.
Don't make social
It's kind of like the binge reading book, maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it feels big and important, and but also somehow a real pleasure to soak in all this pain.
They both co-signed completely. They love the book, but it was like John like could not come out and meet us immediately after finishing it.
Is there any nonfiction that you think should be on people's summer reading list?
I have not yet read Sarah Hepola's book, The Blackout.
Okay.
Or is it Blackout?
What's it about?
And it's a memoir about alcoholism.
Interesting.
And some of the terrible things that happen to you that you can sort of try to push aside when you're drinking.
Oh. And so few of those books are written by women.
I mean,
Mary Carr
is
the only one I can think of who, you know, that I've read that has written the sort of woman's take on alcoholism or addiction.
There are a few others that I can't bring to mind right now, but this is certainly a different kind of take. And I think it makes a kind of funny companion piece to Girl on the Train,
which also deals with alcoholism.
And so blackouts.
Interesting segue, because one of the things when we were pondering this topic is that all of the books of the summer always feature female protagonists.
And the consumption is largely driven by women in a lot of cases.
Why?
I think we are... As someone who used to work in Barnes & Noble's corporate office, I know that women tend to read more.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And I hate the idea that the big, important books... I'm sorry. I'm making air quotes, everybody who's listening.
Yeah. You can hear them. People can hear them.
They were definitely obvious in your tone.
Come out in the fall. And that summer is the time for something a little lighter. However...
Yeah.
Karolina Vaklaviak has a novel out. It came out yesterday. And she got a rave review in The Guardian that compared her book. She was compared to, let's see, Cheever, Updike, David Lynch, Bret Easton Ellis. It's about
a bunch of dudes.
Chaos in the summer. Okay. But like, and here she is.
Okay.
And
that sounds awesome.
It's amazing.
Okay.
It is... one of those real, like, steamy summer, who's going to have an affair with whom. But, like, then there are just sparks of terrible violence.
Oh, wow.
That come, like, you don't expect them. And it's shocking.
Wow.
And vital.
And it's called?
It's called The Invader. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
It sounds familiar.
So as we're pre-ordering your book for October, what else should we be pre-ordering? What else is coming out that you're psyched on?
So a couple of things. One sort of romantic comedy-ish situation I'm in right
now. Done.
Okay. Is that my boyfriend also has a book coming out on October 6th. His name's Josh Gondelman, and he is writing a book with Joe Berkowitz, and it's called You Blew It. And it's a humor book about all the ways that you can make your life a living hell by fucking up.
Hey.
Amazing.
And we can all use a laugh about that.
Right. Yeah. Why not?
Totally.
I'm also really excited to read Lauren Groff's Fates and Furies, which I think comes out in the fall. Let me just check my phone very quickly.
Check your phone. I want to know. I love pre-ordering books and just having them show up because, of course, you forget about
it. Because
it
feels like such a nice surprise when they come.
You obviously forget about it. I just did it the other day because I also, whenever Kindle advertises to me something that I'm going to like, I'm like, totally. So I pre-ordered Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, and I was like, why isn't it on my Kindle yet? And I realized I had pre-ordered it because I didn't even look to notice that it wasn't actually out yet.
And that's a really important point to make, that book got moved up, and so now it's a summer book again with the air quotes.
Interesting. Okay.
But I kind of love the idea that like we needed this book so
well,
bad.
Well, it's true. Yeah, this summer especially. That is, yeah
absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah. So I can't wait to get my hands on a copy.
Do you remember what
that.
It's called? I don't remember what it's called. That book.
I think I have a photo of it right here. But
you should also, I am a huge user of Goodreads where you can basically log and keep track of books you want to read, books that you've read, rate books, and you know comment upon them. I also stalk Maris on Goodreads to keep track of what she's reading. So you should feel welcome to do the same.
Please do that. And I actually use Goodreads not only for book recommendations, but for finding quotes. Because you can search their quote section by either a keyword or a key theme. And I found a lot of great stuff that way.
Okay, I have one important question for you before you go, because we're going over, as we always do.
Yeah.
Do you turn on the quotes thing on Kindle? Do you read on a Kindle?
I don't read on a
Kindle. Oh, okay. You read on a Kindle, Erica.
Yeah.
You know the thing that I hate so much that shows you how many people have highlighted a passage?
I only see the underlines, not the numbers.
God, I hate it so
much. Yeah, I don't like it at all. I agree that that's one of my least favorite things about Kindle reading.
But I wondered, for someone who's always looking for relevant quotes, if that would be useful.
It would probably be useful.
Yeah.
again, as someone who used to work for Nook.
Okay.
yeah, fair.
Yeah.
I am still a Nook user.
Oh, you are? Okay.
But for the most part, I really do prefer a hard copy. And I know that's...
That's
quaint.
A personal preference.
No, I'm into it. All right, we should wrap it up
and say that this has been A Few Things with Claire and Erica, featuring Maris Kreitzman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Author of Slaughterhouse 90210.
Yes.
I tried to say like at least 70% less in this episode.
I think you killed it.
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Sign up for our newsletter at www.ofakind.com.
If you have any questions about things we're talking about, if you have any topics you want us to cover, email us at info@ofakind.com.
Congratulate me on how much less I said like on this episode.
Feel free.
Use that email address for that as well. And you can also stay tuned, because right after this, you are going to hear a brief clip of another amazing show called All in the Industry, hosted by Sherry Bayer. It is live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Heritage Radio Network.
All restaurant reviewers typically focus on what's new, and which of course raises the question for every critic, how new is too new? You know, can you reasonably write about a new restaurant after 3 weeks, a month, six months?
Steve Quozo, restaurant critic for the New York Post, has strong opinions on the process of reviewing a new restaurant. Hear a clip of him on episode 45 of All in the Industry.
Restaurant reviews are completely unlike any other form of criticism, because the product is never the same. You know, movies always the same, etc. Broadway shows, plays are mostly the same, allowing for minor variations in performances evening to evening. But every restaurant meal is a different product and a different experience. And I always tell my friends that when you go to a restaurant, you're not really buying a meal, you're buying a memory. And the trick is to figure out when is the time that it's safe to sort of try to express that memory for readers in a way that may be useful to them. But restaurants, as we know, everything changes so rapidly. The movement of chefs and owners in front of the house, people are so mercurial that a place can be completely different night to night, more so than was true in the past.
This was an excerpt of All in the Industry, episode 45. For more behind-the-scenes conversations on the restaurant and hospitality industry, listen to archived episodes of All in the Industry on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.